Amen. Grateful to the male chorus for those beautiful selections today. Amen. You expect a miracle? Amen. We need one. I need one in this day. Giving all praises to God, to the officers and members, to our own Dr. Janice Bryant, to our guest speaker, Reverend Lee Armstrong. We're grateful to be in the house of the Lord one more time. Amen. It is not guaranteed to us. It's by His grace and His mercy. And by His favor, He has allowed this time to run on in our lives. I'm grateful for my friend to come and share with us this morning. I had planned on preaching Hannah Rose first Sunday and fourth Sunday because Hannah is one of those names that spelt the same going and coming. And so I wanted to talk about her hope before she rose and then hope after she rose. And that's how we were planning on sandwiching July. But we have plans, but God is the one that executes. And so we're grateful for Minister West on last week. Amen. Amen. Stepping in and stepping up. Per committee, divine committee, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. That committee set up creation and all that we see. We can still trust in that committee in times such as these. I had this Sunday, and so I asked my friend if he would come, and he readily accepted. I called, and he said he will be there. I said, I'm going to need your scripture and text, though, before you you don't just show up at Ebenezer. I'm going to need your scripture and text, and I need your bio, but I'm doing the intro, so don't worry about the bio. But he is a man of God. He is a servant of the Most High God. He is a co-laborer with me in the ministry. We serve together at St. James. He served as minister of evangelism. He's currently serving as associate pastor at St. James under the leadership of Reverend Dr. B.W. McClendon. He is the son of a preacher man. He bears the name of a preacher. He is his father. He's a junior like me, and so we have a lot in common, and I look forward to hearing a word from the Lord through him. As our pastor teaches us, preaching is not in us, it is through us. And this is one individual that what God can get a word through. And so this morning, Ebenezer, I ask that you receive my friend, and none other than Reverend Lee Armstrong, Jr. Will you elevate your right hand as he comes? Amen.
Good morning. Praise be unto God. Thank God today for my friend, Reverend Dr. Nathan Robertson, my friend and mentor. Although he's a few years younger than I am, but he is in fact my mentor and my friend. It doesn't seem like my week goes the way it should go unless we have talked somewhere along the way throughout that week. And so I want to publicly thank him for the opportunity to be able to come and to share with you all this morning. Giving all praises to God, as said, and also to Dr. Bryant. As I looked at her, continued to look at her this morning, she reminds me so much of my grandmother. Her facial, she looks, if you saw a picture of her and my grandmother next to each other, you'd think they were sisters. They look so much alike, and then they have that sweet, sweet spirit. So I'm already endeared to her because she looks like grandmama. Amen. To the officers and members of this great church, again, I'm glad to be here. I bring you greetings, as he said, from the St. James Missionary Baptist Church, where I serve as associate pastor under direction of Reverend Dr. B.W. McClendon, Sr., and he sends his love to you today. Amen. 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 If you would bow with me in a word of prayer. Father God, we come thanking you for this day. We thank and praise you, Father God, for who you are and what you've done for us. We're so grateful, Lord God, for another opportunity to come into your house to worship and praise your holy and righteous name. Lord, you've been so good. Lord, you've been so kind. Lord, you've been so loving. Lord, you've been so merciful. And we thank you for it right now, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, for an opportunity to be able to stand and declare your word. I pray right now, Father God, that you raise up in me, Lord God, as I step back and allow you to take control. I need your Holy Spirit right now. I need your presence right now. I need your anointing right now, Lord God, to declare what you've given to me. It's not my word, Lord God, but it's yours. These blessings we ask in your son Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I need the oh, I need thee every hour. I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. I need oh, I need thee. That's my prayer this morning. Every hour I need thee. Oh, oh, bless me now. My Savior, I come to thee. St. John chapter 16. St. John chapter 16. One verse for consideration this morning, verse 33 from the NIV. And it reads, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. May the Lord have add a blessing to the reading, the hearers, and most of all, the doers of his word. Amen. Just for a few minutes this morning, I want to talk to us from the subject, an offer that you can't refuse. An offer that you can't refuse. As we survey the landscape of our world today, we see it strewn with chaos, corruption, and conflict. Wars are raging in Ukraine and Gaza, resulting in the daily loss of thousands of innocent lives. Our judicial system is weakening progressively, with the highest court in the land consistently making puzzling rulings. Meanwhile, our government is effectively at a standstill as officials seem to be more focused on garnering internet clicks than on fulfilling their responsibilities to we the people. Many individuals are worried and concerned about the actions and the policy of the current administration. With everything that we see coming out of Washington, D.C. these days, the D.C. now stands for Daily Chaos. Yes, church, we're living in troubling times. Our society seems to have become desensitized to school shootings and other senseless crimes. Suicide is the second leading cause of death among teens and young adults from ages 10 to 34. The pervasive influence of social media has led to cyberbullying, social anxiety, depression, and exposure to inappropriate content. The meanings of pronouns that we grew up learning have changed significantly these days. Our struggling economy has created fear around necessities, with $100 worth of groceries that would normally fit in the trunk of your car. Nowadays, you can fit those two or three bags on the front passenger seat. Am I right about it? Our country today is deeply divided, with some segments of society even calling for another civil war. Just this past Independence Day, flash floods swept away many unsuspecting campers on the Guadalupe River. Many were innocent children. Yes, church, these are troubling times. We are witnessing marriages and families that are in trouble, children lacking guidance and respect, schools that are failing, and churches that are no longer taken seriously. There's much to be concerned about. On a personal note, there are some that are dealing with sicknesses in their bodies and dealing with the bereavement and pain of the loss of a loved one. Maybe a child has gone astray or been incarcerated. We're living in troubling times. However, as these troubling situations have developed in our world and in our lives, Jesus presents us as believers with an offer that we cannot refuse. All right. Chapters 13 through 17 of John are known as Jesus' farewell discourse, which took place during the Last Supper. They were celebrating the Passover, but this was Jesus' last opportunity to share with his disciples before his crucifixion. In chapter 13, he washed their feet as an example of true servanthood. And he spoke to them about the importance of having love one for another. Then in chapter 14, he declared unto them, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And he promised them not to leave them alone, but that the Comforter would come to teach them all things and to bring all things to their remembrance. Chapter 15, he proclaimed, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Abide in me, and I in you. Ye shall ask what ye shall, and what you will, and it shall be done unto you." Then in John chapter 16, we find Jesus' final words as to his disciples as he prepares them for his impending departure and for life without him. All right. It's akin to parents delivering a final speech to their children before going on a much needed getaway. Jesus offers them warnings and instructions, but he also provides words of comfort and words of hope. Our focus today is on verse 33. Verse 33 opens with the words, "These things I have spoken unto you." These things, going all the way back to chapter 13, these are the words of instruction. These are the words of preparation. These are the words of consolation. These things. However, he here we see him making an offer that we simply can't refuse. Matthew Henry, the British theologian, is quoted as saying, "But to his disciples who had left all to follow him, he left not silver or gold, but something far better. He left his peace." Here are four observations that I gathered from this text. As we examine this text, we see, first of all, a divine reassurance. In John chapter 14, verse 27, he had already declared to them that he would give them his peace. So again, he extends this same offer. However, it's more important to note that this is an offer and not a promise. We look and notice the word used here is might. Some translations use the word may, which indicates that this peace can indeed be rejected. Surprisingly, there are followers of Christ today who choose to reject this offer of peace. This reminds me of the old hymn that I would hear my mother sing as she played the organ on Sunday mornings. "What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege it is to carry everything to God in prayer." Here it is. "Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pains we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer." Yeah. Then she would move to that second verse and say, "Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer." The question this morning, have you turned down Jesus' offer of peace in this chaotic world? Many believers struggle with feelings of constant defeat because they have not fully embraced this precious gift. True peace cannot be found in things we typically pursue. There is no peace in our material possessions, no peace in our jobs, no peace even in the church. Jesus teaches us that this peace is found exclusively in him. Isaiah 26 and 3 says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." This peace that Jesus offers simply makes no sense. Philippians 4:7 says, "It is a peace that surpasses all understanding, capable of keeping you calm even while chaos surrounds you." We see this illustrated in Mark chapter 4, where Jesus found himself asleep in the bottom of a ship. And the text says he sleep on a pillow. Then the disciples above were panicking because of a violent storm that had come up. This story assures us that we don't have to panic when Jesus is on board. He offers us that same peace today. Remember, he stood up after they summoned him. He stood up on the back of the ship and said, "Peace, be still." He can say that same, "Peace, be still," in your life today. Well, what does it mean to be in Christ? This refers to the believer's state. Stephen Lawson says, to be in Christ, first of all, means that we have a saving relationship with Christ and are brought into union and communion with him in such a way that as we are in Christ, what is true of Christ becomes true of us. His grace and his resources become our experience and our possession. To be in Christ means we have accepted his sacrifice as payment for our own sin. It simply means that we are followers of Christ. Well, not only did he give a divine reassurance, but he also here gave us a definite reality. Jesus said, in this world you shall have trouble. So where we see peace as an offer, here we see trouble as a promise. Notice the contrast. In Christ there is peace. In this world there is trouble. Trouble is guaranteed. You don't have to look for trouble. Trouble will find you. You can be locked in your home, minding your own business, ordering Uber Eats and your groceries from HEB, not having to leave your house at all, and trouble will come knocking at your door. You can be an innocent bystander, and trouble will hit you upside the head. We must come to grips with the fact that we are in a world and trouble is a certainty. I heard someone recently say that as believers, we must normalize difficulties. Normalize difficulties. As disciples and ambassadors for Christ, we must be careful not to offer a false hope to new believers that if they come to Christ, their lives will be full of roses. We know that's not so. We must be honest enough to tell them about the prickles too. They can admire the roses, but sometimes in picking the roses, you might get stuck. Job 14:1 declares that man that is born of a woman, it is a few days and full of trouble. In this world, you shall have trouble. Well, not only did Jesus give them a divine reassurance, not only did he express definite reality, but he also gave them a desired reaction. Question is, how should we react to those troubles? Well, right here in the text, Jesus says that we should take heart. King James says that we should be of good cheer. It means having hope, not getting discouraged, nor not losing faith, or living a life of worry and fear. It means facing life with confidence. Confidence in who? Certainly not confidence in ourselves. Certainly not confidence in mankind, but confidence in Jesus and the work that he has done. It means facing our troubles with joy. It doesn't make sense, but it is what it is. Facing our troubles with joy. Romans 5:3 says, we joy in our tribulations. James says, my brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptation, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Our state of mind matters. The example that comes to my mind is Paul and Silas as they sat in that Philippian jail. They prayed and sang praises unto God as they were locked in chains, not knowing what the next day was going to bring. But their mindset, their focus was on God. Let's keep in mind that Jesus' current situation here in this text, he was about himself to face his impending death. Observation 4. Jesus gives us a definitive reason for it all. He says, We can live victorious in this chaotic, corrupt, and conflicted world. For I have overcome the world. To overcome the world means to defeat, to gain victory over, as in a contest or a military conflict. Christ's victory over the world is multifaceted. As followers of him, we have been granted victory over our anxieties, over our cares, our hatred, persecution, sin, temptation, spiritual forces, sorrows, and even death. To overcome the world means to resist the temptations and values of the worldly pursuits, prioritizing God's will and living according to his teachings above the desires and standards set by society. And because he has overcome these things, so can we. Because we are in him. 1 John 5:4-5 says, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. Are you an overcomer this morning? Is your focus more on the spiritual than what you see going on around you? Is your faith in God or is it in the systems of this world? As I reflect on today's circumstances, I can't help but think of our forefathers. They faced the constant threat of death each day. They endured mistreatment and oppression, were denied basic rights, and were unjustly hated. Yet, despite all of this, they lived with a peace that seemed beyond understanding. They were overcomers. So how did Jesus overcome the world? Jesus overcame the world by defeating sin, death, and Satan through his death and his resurrection. Jesus' victory over the world is continuous victory which will continue into the future. It gives us hope and it gives us peace in the midst of life's trials and sorrows. Isaiah 9:6 says, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. He is the Prince of Peace. When we consider peace, he also provided us with the peace of God. The peace of God came through on one Friday. When he gave his hands and he gave his feet to an old rugged cross. He gave his head to the crown of thorns and he gave his side to the spear. And he hung, bled, and died to give us victory through him. But dying wasn't all. Early Sunday morning, he got up with all power in his hand. Not black power, not white power, not Republican power, Democratic power. All power in his hands. Before I go to my seat, I'm reminded of a story that I read not long ago of a family who decided to come together and spend New Year's Eve together. They decided to rent a cabin in the mountains, and their mindset was everyone would meet up there and they would enjoy seeing the old year out and the new year in. This gathering was anticipated because they hadn't seen each other in quite a while, and both adults and children gather together in this cabin in the mountains. And they got there on New Year's Eve and they told family stories and they sang songs and they enjoyed each other's company. They saw the old year in, old year out and the new year in. Also a part of that great celebration, they had planned a big pancake breakfast on New Year's morning. They anticipated the pancake breakfast. And after sleeping for a little while, after midnight, they all got up with anticipation. The adults went into the kitchen and began to fix the pancakes. And the children had the responsibility of fixing the table and preparing the table, setting the table. They all were moving around in a joyous mood, thinking about the pancakes that they were about to partake of. And pancakes were being flipped in the kitchen, and pounds of bacon, sausage, and ham were being prepared, and the table was being set. And once everything was ready, they all sat down at the table. The oldest in the family had the privilege and the honor of saying grace. After grace was said and they started to prepare to eat their pancakes that were stacked across the table, a question came up. Well, someone asked the question, a pertinent question, and a very important question that needed to be asked at this particular time. Somebody asked the question, who brought the syrup? As they looked around at each other and they looked across the table at all the pancakes that were stacked up, and they looked at the bacon and the ham and the sausage that had been prepared, everything was in order. But nobody brought the syrup. True enough, the pancakes can be eaten without syrup. Just like life can be lived without peace. But it's the syrup that made it sweeter, just as it's peace in your life that will make every day a little bit sweeter with Jesus. Brothers and sisters, Jesus gave us a divine reassurance that we can have peace in this chaotic time. He gave us definite reality that we will experience some trouble. He gave us a desired reaction as to how we should respond to our trouble. And lastly, he gave us a definite reason for it all, because Jesus overcame the world. I admonish you today, brothers and sisters, to today choose peace. Accept this offer that Jesus has given us today. It's an offer that we can't refuse. May God bless you. May God keep you, is my prayer.
Amen. Amen. An offer we cannot refuse. At this time, as the ushers, greeters, nurses, as they come, we want to invite you to accept this peace that passes all understanding. If you're watching online, you can put a word in comments. We will respond to you. We do not want you to miss this opportunity. Will you come? Come on.
Come on to Christ. We all Christ you, oh my brother. We all Christ you, oh my sister.
To accept, we pray that the Lord will bless us. We do want to remind us that we will be having a fellowship tribute for our own Dr. Marshall. Amen. Immediately following this service. And so we do ask that you join us in the fellowship hall immediately following this.